Hello and welcome to the new season and this week's Irish Woes podcast. My name is Tony Lawler. A new season of hopes and dreams that didn't look to be in a particularly great position until the last week or so, when a couple of signings were made and the atmosphere changed completely amongst the fans in the last couple of days. So it's back to travel woes, going over to the match last Saturday. And I'd just like to thank Tony Cullen for picking up myself and Mick from East Midlands Airport, and for Steve Horton from the Dudley Mafia and his daughter Alice for picking up little Noel Doherty, and a stray Fulham fan from Birmingham Airport on Saturday morning as well. We'd have had fierce trouble getting to the game only for them. Just on the intro music, it's a new single from one of our own members, Gary Carter's son Shane. So joining me today to discuss the transfer, the game on Saturday against Fulham, and all our travel woes are Gary Cotter, Johnny Pearl, Andy Taylor, and Mick McQuillan. I hope you enjoy it. How are you, Mick?
Not too bad. Anyone else in?
TC is either he'll be a bit late at the start or he'll have to leave early. So I think being late at the start for the start is probably the option at the moment. Gary was just on to me there. He's only getting home from, he's at a funeral today, so he's hopes to join us in about 10 minutes. I assume Andy said he'd be with us, and Johnny, I didn't hear from Johnny today, but I'm hoping he'll join us as well at some stage. So, bit of activity on the movement scene anyway, Mick, you'd be glad to see.
Good stuff anyway.
Oh yeah, right. Can't argue with it anyway, yeah, just kind of pushed out. There was talk that they were, all the big heads were there on Saturday, so obviously they were signing off on the big deals or whatever, you know.
Yeah, he's over since last week. He's over a bit early, wasn't he?
And they must have been overseeing that the two lads been bought so in the last week.
Yeah, I think what happens is that it's funny why everything has gone so late, but there's a few things, you know, just thinking, trying to run it out of my head what led to this. But once you see the main man coming over, he seems to demand the rubber stamps all the expenditure.
Yeah. Well, it's probably just the way they operate, you know. I mean, an awful lot of people are questioning she and sellers, and you know they're used, they're not doing anything. But I mean, I suppose at the end of it, these lads, you know, if they didn't think they were any good, they wouldn't be there.
So I agree with you, you know.
Yeah, I think, you know, they come over and they show the face, you know. They wouldn't show the face 2 weeks ago when they hadn't bought anyone. Maybe it's just could they come over and say, look what we've done, you know, where we've lads coming in. But I think they always seem to operate on the basis that they don't care. Like, the 1st September is the deadline, so we'll, you know, we're not there. They don't feel under pressure, I don't think, to bring in players in June or July. You know, they seem to, they'll wait for their men and the guys that they want, whoever's advising them to say we want A, B and C, they say okay. People speculate on players that are available, but I mean, war doesn't seem to get out at all of who they're until the deal is done, you know, which is an achievement at this day and age.
Well, the one today though, Tony, was flagged up about 5 or 6 weeks ago, but I didn't think there'd be any truth in it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's
to be honest with you, I thought it was a bit, you know, the way we were heading for it, to me, he was above what we would get, and
Yeah, I'd put it.
That's a fair
play
from, you know.
But I'd put it on the same line as Neves. Like, I mean, people were saying Neves 5 years ago now, but it was kind of, yeah, right. You know, I mean, realistically, he's not a player we're going to get. He's going to be interested. And with these guys, they're obviously, they did their work and got him, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what now, Tony. You know, I did, you know, try to judge what's going on here. But a couple of weeks ago, Larry says he thanked she for keeping Neves, okay?
Yeah.
Now, I was there at the last match and after the game, and, you know, there was no doubt in anyone's mind looking at it. He didn't look like he was going to be there. Like, he was there crying with his kids, and yeah, he was on a way out.
Yeah.
But I'd say what probably has happened. Now, this is when your man said that a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, I think there was a bit of a deal done between Neves and she. And the one thing I'll give Neves, he ain't in it for the money. And I'd say that, as I said before a few times, that we'd have Nevis as long as we had the same ambitions he had.
Yeah.
And I'd say when he put the cards on the table with for him to stay there, when he needed better players brought in.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe, because when you listen to Guedes last week when he came in and in his interview, and he made the point that he spoke to a number of his international teammates.
Yeah.
And he did mention Semedo.
Yeah.
Was one of the ones that convinced him to come in. And, you know, I think that the same with this other fella, what do you call it? He was looking out hoping City or Liverpool would take him first, which is fair enough. But yeah. I would say now, the other fella that asked at the moment is the fella, he's the centre forward, isn't he, at Benfica? Lage himself got involved in that one, seemingly. He has spoken to him because he played underneath. So it looks like there was different people used to get the players in.
Yeah,
and have a go at it. But I can tell you something. I still stand what I say with the present manager. He'd be lucky if he lost the ropes, because they haven't brought these fellas in, Tony, just to finish 9th or 10th.
Yeah. Oh no, without Mick. But anyway, on the note, we're not going to talk about Bruno tonight, Mick. Right? we'll talk about him in October if he's still here, Mick. Right.
Look, it's football. It's football.
Johnny, good evening.
Steve,
are you there, Johnny? Yeah.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah. It's all right. Yeah, sound isn't
in a good mood talking about Mateus Nunes.
I wasn't intending on starting, but I suppose after a long summer where we didn't buy anyone, we bought two lads in the last week. So, what do you think of the two?
Guedes originally was a very good signing, just the fact that he can play up, he can play either side and then up front, but I think the Nunes signing is, it reminded me of when Neves signed, the kind of factor of ambition, like Nunes, yeah. Pep Guardiola called him the best midfielder in the world not so long ago.
Yeah.
Goal he scored on Saturday was phenomenal. The lad wanted to go to Liverpool or City. We've got a world-class player, in my opinion, on our hands in an area that we needed a midfielder that can run at players, get the ball on the half turn and drive.
Yeah.
I just think it's an unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, Johnny, if you look at the four midfielders, like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You're talking Neves, you're talking about Gino, you're talking about Guedes, and you're talking about fucking Nunes.
I think what what Lage will do is play 4-3-3 now, with kind of Matinho and Neves sitting, and then Nunes kind of in that more advanced role type of diamond midfield. But it's not even that, it's the players then we can have coming off the bench. It just completely changes it now, you know, that sort of way.
It gives us more options, yeah. Yeah, it'll be...
But you're talking about those players. Well, I firmly believe that the best signing in the lot was Collins in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. For the price.
I watched them. Look, the first time it came to my notice was, as I said, Tony, but that was game against Burnley.
Yeah.
And I thought he was fabulous that night for Burnley at the back. And I watched him then. I said, what's him playing for Ireland? And I said, oh, jeez. And that's when I said, he would be a great asset for us. But I was looking at him there the last two Saturdays. And he's only 21. And there's someone like even Mitrovic there. He got stuck into him, and he's not afraid to shoulder. And when you think, everybody talks about, and he's a very good player, Kilman. Kilman is 3 years older than him.
Yeah, but I think...
You know, Kilman, and the only problem we see with the pair of them at the minute, small things, is that they need to get used to playing with one another.
Yeah.
You know?
But I think
the fact that...
Sorry, Johnny,
the fact that he's 21 and he looks so assured, to me, is just phenomenal.
Well, I mean,
he just looks so calm on the ball.
Yeah.
Everything he does is with confidence. Like, he zips passes into players.
Yeah.
And can defend really well.
Yeah. And when you think he the one ball there on Saturday, I think in the second half, and he kind of miscontrolled it. Like, he'd plenty of, but the crowd actually, yahooed kind of as if he's miscontrolled the ball, you know. I mean, Jesus, we have plenty of centre halves doing that regularly in years gone by. But I think the one thing, Mick, you mentioned Mitrovic, and I think that's the best way you can judge a guy. Mitrovic fucking gave Liverpool fierce trouble last week, and he didn't cause us a problem, I don't think, at all at the weekend, thanks to the two lads.
He didn't get a kick.
Yeah, we're looking. It's I suppose the back four is something that it's only matches will tell us whether it's working. The
I
problem
think
Semedo
probably has to start on Saturday.
Yeah,
sure.
It was my first thought when he came on Saturday was himself. He'll be right, and maybe Johnny will be on the left against Spurs.
I think so. Yeah.
Well, my biggest problem with them, I don't disagree, Johnny, that he'll start on Saturday. I think he's a class act. But the problem for the two boys is, and even Semedo himself, they're not fullbacks, they're wingbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've been exposed again. The two lads have been exposed against Johnny and were exposed against Leeds a few times. And it was interesting, both goals came in those areas because they're not fullbacks. Yeah. A bit like Matt Doherty. Yeah. And even Semedo is far better as a wing back. But where Semedo gives you something is the likes of Song and Saturday. You can put Semedo on the left or you can put him on the right, and he is a brilliant man marker if you want him to do that job. And I feel sorry for Johnny because I thought Johnny had a horrid time on Saturday, just gone. I thought he was, but I think it's getting to him that he's been caught out so many times, and I feel sorry because he has been our best player for years, you know, and he's consistent. It's a consistency on our team for years,
In spite of the two bad, terrible, crucial injuries he had as well, like he seems to come back pretty well. Hey, Gary, hey, Andy,
hey, how's it going?
Good to see you.
Hi, guys.
Well, the same with the best laid plans of talking about traveling over on Saturday, we've just been yapping about transfers and two new players in. So, if we get a chance later on, we might. Delve a little bit further and get your opinions, Gary and Andy. But we wanted to talk really about the ordeal of travelling over. I know a few lads have been on to me about, you know, they like to keep up to date with travel arrangements and how things are going and that's going on. But I know Johnny had a trip over to Tell on Saturday, and myself and Mick had originally, let's go back 2 months, we booked early Birmingham flight, and about 2 weeks later Ryanair cancelled it. So we booked East Midlands thinking it was a grand little move, and lo and behold then we had a train strike on Saturday. So we were running around trying to figure out how to get around that, and the bell Tony Cullen, who isn't with us tonight at the moment, was over for a couple of days and offered to pick us up. So Mick, we were glad with that.
Oh, no, that was brilliant. We got us into Wolves early. But the travel itself is pretty okay, I suppose. Dublin Airport is fantastically improved. And to get in and out is no problem. But the problem we're going to have for the foreseeable future is the bloody problem with the trains. Look, I agree with the train. I back the strike 100%. But it certainly does really text you. It's a tough day's travel anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, as you know, like we sailed through security, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's like spinning plates, you know. The big problem was getting through security, and we walked in there on Saturday morning, straight through, all the way, right through, three people in front, little bag on, through, like in 10 minutes from the time I arrived to getting through security. But we were up at the gate then, and it was 8:05 flight. We were there at 6:30, 6:45, and the plane was there. They started boarding people, and we're looking out at the plane, and the doors are closed. Doesn't seem to be anybody on it. So the people, the usual, are on the stairs waiting to go. It was actually, I think it was probably about 5 to 8 before the crew turned up, and they went on. We got on. Actually, when we eventually boarded the plane, the two hostesses were there, and they said, "You know, did you have a good lie-in this morning?" And she looked at me, you know, but we didn't think there was going to be a crew at all. Make it on, didn't we?
Yeah. It was a crew that was pulled together.
Yeah. So, Johnny, how was your trip over? I think your plane was delayed, was it?
Oh, the disaster. So it was plane was delayed, and then just the no trains is just, oh, it's such a disaster. Like, you know, you rely on it. Like, when I got there, there was no buses, so I had to get a taxi. Then there was a crash on M5.
Oh, God.
And yeah. I only arrived at Taimonia at about 2:30. So,
yeah.
But your luck was just one of those things, you know.
Yeah.
Where'd you fly into, Johnny? Birmingham?
Yeah, it was the Aer Lingus, and that got delayed by an hour because they didn't have people to. I think they've kind of sorted out the security bit but they haven't sorted out the fact that you need people to fly the plane and you need people to put the bags on the plane.
Yeah,
that's Aer Lingus.
Yeah,
I wouldn't fly Aer Lingus because they're not an Irish company anymore, and so they're not under the same rules that Ryanair is with Europe.
They made
a complete disaster of the travel with the baggage. No baggage handlers or nothing.
Yeah, that was the problem. They couldn't get people to throw the bags on the plane. And the plane wasn't that big.
It was a propeller one, was it?
Yeah, it was.
But I think the lesson, probably the big lesson we've learned over the years is that, like, the 6:30, 7 o'clock flight in the morning, it's early and it's a pain getting up in the middle of the night and travelling to Dublin Airport. But the later, particularly at weekends, the later you go for a flight, if it's 9, 10, 10:30, the bigger chance there is that it's going to be delayed and there's going to be delays.
Yeah,
and you're
it just gets stressful, like, you know.
Yeah, so that was all the travel around. We were in Wolverhampton about 10:30, 11:30, and it was a good crowd. A few of the lads, Adrian and Denise from Belfast, and Noel McKillen, his mate, can't think of his mate, Terry, is it? And
we had
Rasher and Melissa and the nephew, and so we had a right gang over there. We all met up and we had a bit of grub together into McGee's for the few points, and the atmosphere was set. The heat, everything.
Oh,
Jesus,
the heat was a killer.
Yeah, so I suppose just to get on to the match itself then, no prizes for getting their line up these days, but hopefully it's going to change now with new players arriving. But Gary, you watched the game on telly, yeah?
Yeah, I did. Picking up on the point earlier about Semedo and Johnny and Nate Newry, would say that the triangle, the three people for the two places, if you like. Nate Newry just seems that bit clumsy in around the penalty box, and you always feel that he's one trip away from a penalty. I'd be up for the Semedo right back, Johnny left back. To give it a go anyway, because I think they are better defenders than Aid Nouri. Johnny particularly better than Aid Nouri at left back. I wasn't 100% sure of the point Mick was making earlier there about getting exposed and them being wing backs. Like, I mean, as far as I would understand that system, like, they have to be full backs and they have to be wing backs. Like, yeah. I mean, they have to attack. That whole system, you can get exposed in that system. Like, yeah. I wouldn't think the guys feel bad about it. Like, I mean, that system is, you're liable to get exposed. At the back, and you're still expected to push right up the wings, like Trent Alexander and Robertson.
But Trent Alexander is any time six. We exposed him unbelievable at down at Anfield. And they do get exposed because they're wing backs. They're not full backs. Yeah. But the full back is like a Dennis Irwin there. They're in there, they're close. They're not. But that's the difference. Doherty was the same. Doherty was never, he was never a comfortable full back.
Yeah.
But he's a very good wing back. So that's what I'm saying. This is the newer version of lads. That just defend. You couldn't trust them 100% to defend. Yeah. That's why.
That's probably where your midfield comes into it then, where if you kind of balance your midfield, say Dendonka would be covering both sides.
If you wing back to three at the back in the centre, that's where you cover. And that's why we've been so good at it. Our defence has been second to none.
Yeah.
Well, after saying that, look, we were the fourth best defence even last year, considering we had a poor season.
Yeah. But
fourth best in the Premier League.
We'll know Saturday if the formations change. But getting on to the game itself, though, Gary, were you happy enough with it, or?
I think very similar to Leeds game. If we don't capitalise when we're doing well, I mean we were doing really well in the first half in particular.
Yeah.
Fulham did get back into it towards we'll say the last 15 of the first half.
Yeah.
But we're not capitalising on those chances. There were good chances for like Neto, Hwang and Pedence, I thought.
Yeah.
Well, Neto's one was offside though, Gary.
Was he given offside?
He was, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. It looked it anyway, yeah.
It was very late, but But it was definitely, and she did raise the flag, but it was very late. But was also.
Yeah. Andy, I'll bring you in. What were your thoughts on the first half on Saturday?
I thought we were very good in the first half, you know. Second half, we should have pushed on and whatever reason didn't. But yeah, first half, like, I mean, we obviously controlled the game for most of it. Just like in many ways, though, bit of a same old story regarding the, you know, the forwards, because they just couldn't put the ball in the net.
Yeah.
And the chances that went begging, you know, I know in fairness, it's easy to say it from the stands, but when you're the player one-on-one with the keeper or whatever, and you know you've got a defender breathing down your neck, it's not as easy. But, yeah, you know, I would have hoped that both Neto and Huang would have managed to get the ball in the back of the net, but anyway, look. And then Podence had a good chance as well.
That was Gibbs White that missed that one.
Or was it Gibbs White?
No, that was that was second half, Mick, was it?
Yeah.
That was
the first
near
one
the
with
end.
Neto.
Yeah.
The second one with Neto did with the first half. She never had two chances in the first half, hadn't he? Was it Neto or was it Wang?
No, Podence had the one where the keeper under the centre half got mixed up and the ball dropped. That was Podence.
The fella who led to that was Neto in the centre of the goals. But I think it just bounced off of him and then it went out and it came to Podence and he shot it. Podence should have buried it anyway.
Yeah. It came across. I think it came across to Johnny on the other side then when it did rebound.
Oh, yeah. Jesus, yeah.
But it gave you the impression at that stage that it was going to be our lucky day. But Johnny, what were your thoughts on the game overall?
Same as the lads, really. If Podence and Gibbs White score, it's a 2-0. It's a very comfortable win, and everyone goes home happy.
Yeah.
The fact that they didn't score and the game went on and on, I thought the crowd got quite nervous because it is early in the season, but I think if we had lost to Fulham, it would have been very toxic after the game.
Yeah.
Like the save from Sa was obviously crucial. I thought our two centre halves were brilliant. Thing is, like, Fulham didn't really have a chance bar that one corner where Neves kind of cleared it off the line. Yeah, I don't know about the Gibbs White playing on the right wing. I'm not sure if I like that. I'd love to see him a bit more central.
Yeah.
I thought Podence was quite poor on Saturday.
Yeah.
Kept giving the ball away for me.
Yeah, it's funny. I've great time for Podence, but he hasn't. I know he scored against Leeds, but he seems to be a little bit off the pace or something at the moment. Is he? Maybe it's just getting into the season, getting himself into playing mode. But I mean, I think he's great. He's great skill. He's a great pass for opening up a defence.
He usually is a brilliant asset to have because he does unlock defences. But I just thought on Saturday he was just constantly giving the ball away. But look, one of those days.
Yeah. No, I'd agree with you on the, you know, the penalty. If they'd scored a penalty, I think the place would have been probably would have erupted in the wrong way.
Yeah.
So we were kind of. And
can I just agree with Johnny there on Podence?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it is, but he seems to try the impossible or at least the most difficult option every time.
Yeah.
You know, it's putting the ball through the eye of a needle, and it's okay. You know, you've got to try that every now and then, you know, to maybe break the line and get through. But it just seems to lose the ball so much.
Yeah.
You know, it's becoming, you know, all along, you'd always say, if there's more positives than negatives, then it's worth a try. But when there's more fucking negatives than positives, you'd have to start asking.
Yeah. Like, well, I think it's got to do as well with, you know, players have to get to know each other and know what they're going to do. And, you know, particularly up front, they have to be tuned into each other. And, you know, they do get through, come good passage of the pass and then interchange and pass and that. But, yeah, I think some of the times I think, you know, the two front men are thinking one thing and then Podence just flicks it somewhere else. But there were two or three times, I think, on Saturday where he passed the ball and the players had either turned away or they'd given up on getting the ball. But, like, I suppose you'd hope over time that fellas get used to playing with each other, so no more than their two centre halves. But so I suppose heading into the game on Saturday against Spurs, are we looking at, I don't know, anyone any word
Tony,
on injuries?
Tony, do I not get to say at the match now?
Yeah, I thought, oh, far away, Michael. I would never deny you. Well, under certain conditions. You know what the conditions are, don't you? Bruno was October, right? We agreed that earlier on.
There's no conditions as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, the game on Saturday, I thought, as the lads were saying there, both game, the Leeds match and Saturday's match were quite similar. We started well in the first 10, 15 minutes, all guns blazing, didn't get the goal. And after that, we were struggling a little bit. But, you know, we had one shot on target, I think, in the game on Saturday.
Yeah.
They had two. And definitely, they didn't deserve to win the game.
No.
But I don't think we did either. You know, we had chances early on, reasonable chances. I think our problem, frustration on Saturday, that we're flicking this ball about, like Gibbs, Wise and Pedence. And it's very frustrating that a lot of them are not ended up where they want them to go. And it's hoping that it works out for them. But as you said there, Tony, maybe when players start playing together, it'll be a bit different. But I'm not a fan of Gibbs Wise. I think he looks better than he was 3 or 4 years ago because the team that he's playing in at the minute is not as good. I think what he is, in my opinion, I don't care what people say, he's more of a championship footballer. But he said he would do a good job coming off the bench.
Off the bench, yeah.
Yeah, because with the players that sort of being put there together, you know, I think the other thing too is, like I was saying there on Saturday, Dens and Neto, I think trying to play Neto as a winger, no winger, ain't going to do his game any good because Neto does not run, you know, full length. He has a bit of pace, but he's more, he likes the ball coming to his feet and quick start. He's very quick at getting the first 2 or 3 yards. And we've seen it against up at Leeds, when he turned the Leeds defenders inside out, inside the box there. When he gets that's what he's good at. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you give him 3 or 4 long ones to run at, he takes a while to recover. And Pedence, he is a very frustrating player. The thing is, he can do things and turn it. As Gary says, you have to balance up, you know, the positives and negatives there. But I would nearly play him up front against Spurs.
Yeah.
In the box there, in that area. But it'll all depend. These lads are all signed up and all ready to go on Saturday.
Anyone, it seems to be very quiet on injuries, Jimenez and Moutinho. Anyone hear any word of even if Jimenez might be around?
Moutinho was back in training today.
Back in training today.
Moutinho?
Yeah.
And no word of Jimenez at all, no?
I seen Jimenez was doing sprints, but I don't think he was back in training.
Jeez, yeah. Because I think at the time when he got the injury, I thought people were talking about 4 to 8 weeks, and he actually seemingly went on Twitter himself and said it was only going to be 2 weeks, you know. So
just on the you know, you don't know whether the commentators know anything. They were just saying that Jimenez wouldn't be back until well into September.
I'd agree with that, Gary, because that's a bit like something like Semedo got. You know what I mean? You can't rush it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, yeah. I suppose. Yeah. Well, as you say, you could very well see Pedence up front on Saturday.
One of the comments is Sarr is quite erratic at the moment. In the both games, I felt he has been, you know, he's kind of coming for things that, geez, he had a right flap at one. In both games, I think you could find.
Yeah.
He flattened that guy at Leeds.
I
would have said so. Yeah, I wouldn't have been surprised if it was a penalty.
Yeah, I didn't see the game, but I actually saw that incident on somebody had it up on Facebook or something, and I saw it. Yeah, it's kind of a bit strange.
It's erratic at the moment, whatever that's about. Yeah.
Well, I tell you, Gary, as you mentioned that the lad next to me, you know, just at the game was over, the youngish lad there, but he's fairly well up in the game. He said, you know, he picked on that point. And he picked on the two centre-backs. And he says, that's where we miss Cody. He organises things, but he's not afraid to eat the bollocks out of, Sarr. But the problem is that the three young fellas in those positions, and it's going to take it probably a little bit of time to work it out, the two centre-backs and the goalkeeper. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, that's... And I said to Jesus, he had a point, you know? Because you forget, the 21 and 24, and all of a sudden, the main man who was calling, everything is gone.
Yeah.
So someone has to get the grips of it, you know. So hopefully that's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, I did think that the two centre backs were going to be our Achilles heel for the first few games until they got, but they have done fairly well. Like I've been pleased with them.
Yeah, they were a bit panicky earlier on. I think in the first 10-15 minutes on Saturday, you know, there were a couple of the ball bouncing around for a while, and they were kind of swiping at it, and eventually got it clear. But I think it, you know, it's probably going to happen early on until they're going to get settled in and understanding each other.
Cody, what we've got to remember, that was Collins' first game of playing at home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And but I've been very impressed with him, with him. And if he makes a little blunder, he's very good at recovering it.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's so the pace, But I wanted to ask, I'm going to ask Johnny this. Just on Saturday overall, I thought from start, before the game, I was there at half two, so before the game and during it, I thought the South Bank, as the singing area, I thought that it was a very subdued atmosphere in the stadium on Saturday. Johnny, what do you think?
Yeah, and we touched on this when I seen you. I think it's just the fact that, like, at Wolves at the moment, there's an awful lot of change. The system has changed. Our captain has gone. We have a new captain. It feels like we're just heading into a new era. It's kind of the old one has gone, and people are just kind of anxious about it, I would say. I'd say a lot of people felt anxious about the game on Saturday. So I think that's why it was quiet. And as I said earlier, the longer the game went on, the more nervous and the more quiet you could feel around the place.
Yeah.
And the more desperate people kind of became.
Yeah, because you could hear the Fulham fans an awful lot, and they only probably had half the volunteer full. Andy, what were your thoughts on the atmosphere?
Yeah, I mean, like, just as Johnny said, the South Bank was very quiet, and I was sitting in the top tier of the Steve Bull towards that South Bank end, and there's a good few bunch of fellas, in fairness, in that area that do try and get a lot of singing and chanting and that going in the top tier of the Steve Bull.
Yeah.
You know, I was joined in with it myself, and we were giving it a bit of stick to the South Bank as well. You know, South Bank gives a song, and it was deathly silent. It was a bit of a funny one, really.
Well, I tell you, lads, what you've got to take into consideration, it was 24 degrees. Not only was it hard for the players, but it was fucking hard for the spectators. You know what I mean? It was unreal, the heat there, Saturday.
Yeah.
So you may want to take that into consideration, because even the walk from Wolverhampton just up to the Molyneux was a trek. You know, with that fucking heat.
Yeah, true, yeah. But anyway, lads, just to finish up, as I say, I mentioned earlier on about quick predictions for the Spurs game on Saturday. It's live on BT, I believe, anyway. So anyway, Mick, you don't do predictions. Yeah, anyway, hazard a guess.
I look at it'll go down to what he picks or what's available for him to pick, because we don't know. Hopefully, Nunes is available for picking there. But we won the last three away games of Spurs.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? I'll be delighted if that happens. But
and to be there for it as well. Gary, what's your thoughts?
Good game.
Yeah.
What I think is, I think Spurs are a different proposition this season. You know, I know we're totally untested, really. You know, I would have thought the signs are that it could be a difficult day for us, I would think. But
I thought they were bang average on Sunday, Gary, to be honest. I thought Chelsea should have bet them 3-0.
Yeah, but they didn't.
No, I get that. I get that point, but I don't know. I think people just are kind of a bit with Spurs. Like, I don't really see the signings that they've made from the team that we've bet last year that has improved the team that much. As I said on Sunday, I thought Chelsea absolutely played them off.
But it would be a huge test for this back four thing. Because
it will, yeah.
As Mick would probably be quick to point out, we had a back five or a back three, you know, so
in previous games,
that could be a factor as well.
Andy, what's your thoughts on Saturday?
Yeah, it's a hard one to call. You know, in some ways, again, I'd agree with Johnny, some of the things he was saying there. But at the same time, I do think that Spurs are improved, but not as much as they might like to think themselves, you know.
Yeah.
I know they had a very tough pre-season as regards just the training they were doing. I mean, obviously, Wolves were out in the heat doing two sessions a day, but I did hear Spurs were doing as many as three sessions a day wherever they were. I think they were somewhere over in Asia. Mm. And your man was trying to put them through their paces to really kind of have them firing for the start of the season. But you know, I know they've got Richarlison now. And with if you know, as we saw there at the, yesterday, if you have, Sunday even, if you have Richarlison Kane and Son on the pitch all at the same time. You know, it's a triple threat, really. But I don't know. I as Mick said, we've done quite well against them, in fairness, especially at their place.
Yeah.
There's always a chance. And I think the other thing is, Wolves haven't really gelled that well. We've just been saying we've not been sharp enough. It's not quite, you know, working at the moment.
Yeah.
You never know. We don't know what's going to happen come the weekend. We could suddenly gel and you know, really put it to them again.
Hopefully.
Well, anyway. If we went with a back three on Saturday, we could beat them.
Well, here's hoping we do. Mick, we're literally on last seconds here. So, I'm hoping that we'll have another celebratory day at the White Hart Lane Stadium, however they call it now, on Saturday, Mick.
Whenever we get up there.
Yeah.
Because we're getting stands dead.
Right. Anyway, Gary, Andy, Johnny, Mick, thanks a million. And we'll, out of seconds now. So, hopefully we'll be cheerful next week to talk about our first victory of the season.
Good to talk to you guys.
We'll see you.
Good luck.
Take care. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.